Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Moving my head.
Yeah.
I'm laying it off.
Love that too.
I'm pronating.
When you're not supinating.
I'm clearing too early. I'm clearing too late. My God, my swing feels like an unfolding lawn chair. I look like a fool.
What the hell do you think you look like shooting them chili peppers up Lee Jansen's ass?
Well, we're waiting.
What is up, golf fans, and welcome back to another episode of Fairways and Dreams. I'm your host, Jeff Hartman. It is Thursday. That means it is just me as we talk about all things related to the game of golf. In case you missed it, go back and check out the two-man scramble when I had my man Dan on from the Lead the Pin podcast where we talked about all things golf. It was a great conversation. In case you missed it, it's not time sensitive. Go back and listen. But today we're going to be focusing on a lot of things with the game of golf that might be misconstrued. You know, it kind of ties in with my Fairways and Dreams podcast from 2 weeks ago when I talked about, is the long game more important than the short game? And whether the old narrative, some might say it's old and dated, of you drive for show, putt for dough, might be false. And so what I decided to do is I wanted to put the game of golf into perspective, statistically speaking. And I decided to take a look at the PGA Tour stats across the entire PGA Tour leading up to the Valero Texas Open, which is coming up this weekend. We'll have some gambling odds for you here at the end of the show like we always do. And I wanted to kind of put things into perspective, even for the everyday, every weekend warrior, morning ball guy, whatever you want to call yourself, hacker, take it for what it is. I want to put the game of golf into perspective. Because for me, the game of golf is all about statistics. It could be as simple as the statistic of how many strokes did you have on that particular hole. It could be as complex as your smash factor when you're hitting the ball, launch angle, ball speed, carry distance, all those numbers that sometimes golfers get infatuated with. I believe that sometimes you can have paralysis by analysis, that you, the golfer, especially if you're someone that is very tuned into the analytical side of the game, can have almost a crippling effect from focusing on these numbers so much. And so stats can help. I'm not here to say that launch angle, smash factor, carry distance, all that stuff, that it's not valuable. There's value in it. But I think it's important that we put things into perspective as it pertains to how we play the game of golf. To be honest with you, the reason why I decided to look this information up from a PGA Tour perspective, it all stemmed from that podcast that I already mentioned. You can go back and listen 2 weeks ago on the Fairways and Dreams podcast. I talked about that narrative, already mentioned it, drive for show, putt for dough, and how a lot of new analytics and new swing coaches and the new thought process is more of the Brooks Koepka approach, which I like to call it, which is I don't really care where it goes as long as it's in play. I'm going to hit it as far as I can every chance that I get. And so I thought to myself, does this play out on the PGA Tour? And if it plays out on the PGA Tour, how can I quantify it? How can I look at some of the data that's accessible to anyone with an internet connection from the PGA Tour? How can I try and figure this out? So what I did is I looked up the overarching stats and rankings of the PGA Tour pros. Again, this is the PGA Tour up until the Valero Texas Open. That's the 2024 season. So it's not going to include that Texas Open in case you're listening at a later date. So this is up until April 4th. That's when this is publishing, on April 4th. So I looked at the following categories: driving accuracy, putting average, greens or fringe in regulation or the approach, and then also scrambling. Now what I did is I looked at who was number one overall, and then I looked at some notable names and where they ranked in those specific categories. So let's start with driving accuracy. This is where it all started for me. I was looking up driving accuracy to think, okay, I had a lot of people when I did that podcast 2 weeks ago say, I get what you're saying, Jeff, and I understand what they're saying, meaning the people that are looking at these analytics and really pouring into the numbers. But driving, whether it's the long game or not, you do have to have some accuracy in golf. So I was like, okay, does this play out? Let's take a look. Aaron Ray is number one on PGA Tour right now, hitting 71% of his fairways. 71% is the number one driving accuracy percentage on tour in 2024 right now. Think about that. That's less than, you know, 3 out of 4 fairways hit. So you're looking at things, and I'm trying to put this into perspective for even the weekend warrior golfer. So let's go down to number 19. Colin Morikawa at 65%. Rory McIlroy at 35, 63%. I was shocked when I saw this, that Scottie Scheffler is 50th on tour at 61% driving accuracy. I was floored by some of these numbers. So, okay, this is all something that we have to just kind of catalog this in our brain. Because when we go into the next step of this, we have to keep in mind we're going to reference back to these numbers. So now let's look at the approach. And this is, again, greens or fringe. So if they land on the fringe, this still counts. And they actually have this on the PGA Tour website where you could have greens in regulation or greens and fringe in regulation. I went with greens and fringe in regulation based on the fact that most of these pros, if they're on the fringe, are probably still going to putt the golf ball. So this is where it went, it kind of flipped upside down. Scottie Scheffler is number one with 80.9% greens/fringe in regulation. Next, let's go to number 7, Wyndham Clark. He had 78%. Xander Schauffele was actually ahead of him at third at 76%, and Rory McIlroy was 19th with 75%. So here you have Scottie Scheffler, who's 50th in driving accuracy at 61%. But what does it tell us about his approach game? That's where he's winning. He is winning by hitting 80.9% of greens in regulation. He might not hit the fairway, but it doesn't matter because he's able to still get the ball on a putting surface 80.9, almost 81% of the time. So then let's look at putting average. So we're looking at putting average. Nick Dunlap's actually first right now at 1.665. Scottie Scheffler is second, 1.668. Jordan Spieth is third, 1.688. Wyndham Clark, he's sixth, by the way, 1.698. And then to give you another name, 46th is Tommy Fleetwood with 1.739. All these guys are good putters. And the fact that Scottie Scheffler, who's been criticized and ripped to shreds by the media for his putting and lack thereof, and when he switched to the mallet and he supposedly took Rory McIlroy's advice, Scottie Scheffler second in terms of putting average on the PGA Tour right now. So I looked at one more category, and I talked about this, I already said this earlier, is scrambling. That is the ability to get up and down. So Alex Noren is first in the PGA with 73.64%, his scrambling percentage. Max Homa is 13th at 67%. Xander Schauffele is 17th at 66.9%. And then at 52nd is Colin Morikawa at 62.8%. And you might be wondering, well, Jeff, like someone like Rory McIlroy, what about Scottie Scheffler? Where's he on that list? You have to go really far down. Do you know why? He hits the green in regulation 81% of the time. Therefore, he's not having to scramble. He is basically hitting the green so consistently that it comes down to just putting. So that's why when you looked at some of these names, you might say, well, Alex Noren is great at scrambling. You know what that means? He's not hitting greens in regulation. He's missing the green a lot. Now, he's scrambling well, but Max Homa, 13th, same story. His approach game is struggling. It all ties in together. But I found it fascinating that the driving accuracy, where Scottie Scheffler was 50th at 61%, he still was number one in terms of greens in regulation, including the fringe, got to always mention that, at 81%. So he's keeping it close enough, whether it's the first cut of the fairway and that's not considered a fairway hit, or maybe he's missing where he should, meaning he's in the rough, but he's given himself an opportunity. He's still able to get the ball on the putting surface. And that's why his putting average is up there. He's number two on tour right now. And scrambling, he's so low. That's what this game is all about. So when you take a look at these numbers, you can learn a lot by looking at these PGA Tour Pro numbers. And you might say, what does this have to do with me, the guy that golfs every now and then with my family or plays every once in a while with friends? What does this have to do? Well, is driving accuracy overrated? From a PGA Tour perspective, it's hard for me to not say that that is fact, that driving accuracy is overrated. Look at who's winning all the tournaments is the guy who ranks 50th on the tour in Scottie Scheffler. So it's hard for me to be able to sit here and tell you, the listener, that, you know what? Driving accuracy is really important. It's really important when the guy who's first in driving accuracy is nowhere else to be found on most of these rankings. Greens in regulation might be the most important facet of this talking point, equation, etc. I go back to a video I saw on Instagram. It's an interview with Will Zalatoris, and they asked him, and I'm not sure who did the interview. I should look it up, but I just didn't. They asked him, how would you say, what was the best way for someone who is a double-digit handicap that wants to get to a single-digit handicap? What would you tell him? He said, this is going to sound really basic, but get to the green as quickly as possible. And they're like, well, wait a second, could you explain a little bit? Because the first time I heard that, I'm like, well, that's funny, Will. That's just like saying to some hacker who's just learning the game, who can't hit the ball off the tee very well, you say, you know what you need to do? You need to hit the ball straighter. Well, no crap, Sherlock. Like, that, I'm trying. But he was basically saying that instead of trying to hit the hero shot and trying to hit it to pins, just get it up near the green as fast as possible. So even if it meant you're not going to be able to get there and maybe you don't hit a 3-wood well out of the fairway, we'll assume it's a par 5, don't necessarily try and hit the hero shot. Instead, play the smart shot, get to the green as quick as possible, and then hope that your short game can keep you upright. Maybe you miss the green in regulation, but if you chip well and you can chip it close and make a putt for par, that's something that Dan from Leave the Pin talked about on Monday. Tuesday. He said his game is unbelievably boring. He's consistent off the tee. He's up around the green in his second shot on a par 4. He's either going to get up and down for par, chip up, maybe he'll bogey the hole. That's just the way his game is. A lot of us would kill for that, but that's something that we have to consider when we are working on our game, practicing on our game, is our approach to practice might need to be altered a little bit. Maybe the driving distance is important. Maybe driving accuracy, not as much. Are hitting our irons to targets. Like I say, you go to the driving range, you have a big, large bucket of golf balls. Maybe focusing on 170 yards in, hitting two targets and getting the ball in and around that area. That's what these numbers are showing. Because if you can get greens in regulation, it's going to limit the stress on your short game. Some of us out there, not me, they thrive on their short game. They just want to live around the green because they can get up and down easily. They're great putters. That's not me, not yet. So for me, I'm looking at these numbers and I'm looking at these analytics and I'm saying, wow, I kind of should tailor my practice and my preparation for golf more in line with what we're seeing in the game. I'm not saying that I'm a PGA pro. No way am I even close to that. But at the same time, driving accuracy, the greens and regulation, and scrambling are important, but so is putting. You have to be a good putter. So 2 weeks ago, again, I had a lot of people say, Jeff, and my gosh, man, what's going on? Like you still have to be accurate. You still have to have a good short game. You absolutely do. It all comes together. It all comes together. So when we put these numbers into perspective, when we take a look at these numbers and this data that we have accessible to us, how do we implement it into our game? Again, let this dictate how you practice. Let this dictate that, yes, driving the ball a long ways is important. Getting as close to the green as possible. Keeping it in play, obviously. If you hit it OB or in the water or in a hazard, that's not going to do you any favors. But if you can keep it in play and you can hit it a long way, that might be where you have to focus a lot of your time and energy. But from there, how well do you then convert that drive into a green in regulation? Something Scottie Scheffler does so well, and why he's going to be a favorite to win the Masters here in a couple weeks, based on the fact that he is just so accurate with his irons, and especially off the tee. If he can find the fairways, get on the green, he's going to be able to do enough to stay in it for four rounds plus. So that's why I think that if we tailored our approach to the game according to these stats, we might see our game improve. Even us weekend warriors, the Sunday hackers, whatever you deem yourself, maybe think about this in a little different way. Anyone that's out there thinking that 2 weeks ago, if they heard the spiel that I gave on is drive for show, putt for dough outdated, you might have thought, sweet, I don't have to practice my short game anymore. Come on now. You know you still have to practice your short game. You know you still have to get out there and work on your game. So think about this, though. With the driving accuracy, we use Scottie Scheffler as the gold standard right now on the PGA Tour. 61% driving accuracy, 50th on tour, but greens and regulation number one, putting average number two. That's where you want to be. So think about that. That really opened up my eyes and put some things into perspective. And when I started to do this analytical dive into the stats of golf currently on the PGA Tour, I found it very eye-opening as it pertains to my own game and what I maybe should be focusing on as I continue to get ready for the upcoming season, which, by the way, I'd normally update my golf game. Shoot, haven't had a chance to do that. Here in the Mid-Atlantic in the state of Maryland, we have been inundated with rain recently. I did get out last week and hit a bucket of balls with the kids just for fun. Worked on just off the tee, and it was a lot of fun, but ultimately I haven't been able to golf. We have so much rain and more rain in the forecast that the ground is flooding. I hope the courses out there are handling it okay. I'm sure that they are, but it's been rough, and I'm sure that I'm not alone. The whole Northeast is getting hammered with rain, and some up in the Northeast, like we're talking Maine and up there in New Hampshire, they're getting snow. Vermont just got hit with a blizzard. Just crazy, just absolute crazy weather. So if you've been able to get out there and golf, let me know how it's going. But unfortunately for me, I haven't been able to. So I'm anxious, looking forward to it. I know there's a warming trend coming up next week. It can't get here soon enough, in my opinion. I always do talk about the news and with the PGA Tour. And yes, the Valero Texas Open is this weekend. That's not what everyone wants to know. Everyone wants to know about the Masters. Everyone wants to talk about the Masters. And I want to go ahead and plug this now and not wait till the end of the show, that next week I'm going to have my buddy Pez on from Pez's Picks. It's a gambling podcast I co-host with him. And we're going to talk all about gambling on the tournament in and of itself for Tuesday. That'll be my two-man scramble. And we'll talk about maybe some good players, some good picks to make. We'll talk about tournament specials. We'll talk about all of it. We'll actually look at how players do leading up to the Masters and how they play in the Masters. Is there a correlation between those two? Whether you like to gamble on golf or not doesn't matter. It will be a really deep dive into who you could maybe expect to play well at the Masters. But that's not what everyone wants to know. Everyone wants to know, is Tiger Woods going to play in the tournament? Is he going to play? Go to Google, type in, is Tiger Woods going to golf in the Masters? And what you find is that he's already down there in Augusta. He's playing rounds. I think he played with Justin Thomas last Saturday. Maybe played with, I think, the Augusta National Chairman as well. He's going to give it a go. He's going to give it a go. I can't say that I have any high hopes for him to play particularly well and to particularly make it to all four rounds. People know this if you listen to my podcast. I'm not a Tiger Woods fan. I've never been a Tiger Woods fan. I always root for the underdogs. I don't like it when one team wins all the time. And it's the same in golf. I don't like it when there's one guy that dominates the entire tour. And then you have the off course transgressions, and that kind of soured me even more. So I also realize that Tiger Woods is good for the game and that a lot of people will watch for Tiger Woods. So I want him to play. I want it to be interesting. I hope he finishes, whether it's he misses the cut or maybe he makes the cut. I just want him to be able to finish a freaking tournament so that we can stop with the, will he be able to finish? Maybe he won't be able to finish. It's one of those narratives that has just been beaten to death that I'm sick of bringing up. So everyone wants to know, is Tiger Woods going to play in the Masters? We'll see. Next week's going to be a lot of fun. I mentioned my podcast with Pez and the gambling aspect of golf, but also on Thursday, I'm going to have a podcast all about how the Masters is very special to me for a different reason outside of it's a really awesome golf tournament. And we'll talk about that next week on Thursday's Fairways and Dreams. So as we always finish out these podcasts, as we talk about the gambling, if you are someone that likes to bet on golf, what are some good bets that you could have? This is a limited field at the Valero Texas Open. And I really find it interesting how these players are handling this tournament. It's always been this way. Some players, they like Scottie Scheffler. He played last week, and now he took this week off before the Masters. Makes sense. I can definitely see why someone like Scottie Scheffler would want to get to Augusta National early, start to really get used to the course, used to the greens, walking around, getting a familiarity with hole placements, all of that stuff. The more you can prepare, the better you will be. But then I can also see why someone like Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy's playing in this Valero Texas Open, why you would want to play, get some competitive golf in you. Then right after the final round on Sunday, you are jet setting to Augusta National to make sure that you are also getting prepared for that. It's a different approach. Everyone approaches this tournament differently. I have to be honest, if it were me, I'd probably go the Scottie Scheffler route. I'd probably golf last week and then take this week off so that I can then get ready for the first major and what some people call the most important major of the year, the Masters Championship in Augusta, Georgia. But the Valero Texas Open, the favorite in this tournament is actually Rory McIlroy. I think he was plus 900 the last time I saw. I can't buy into Rory McIlroy. I don't know what this guy's issue is. We haven't heard anything about his health. Maybe there's people that think that he's distracted, and that's one of the reasons why he kind of has gotten out of the whole Live Golf PGA Tour thing. I don't know. Whatever it is, it seems like it's preventing him from being really a winner on tour again. Yes, he won down in Dubai. That was not a full field. That was not a big-time tournament, and nor is the Valero Texas Open, but I am not taking Rory McIlroy with my favorite pick in this tournament. Believe it or not, I'm going to go with better odds and a guy who's played well historically on this track, and that's Jordan Spieth. I'm going to go Jordan Spieth at plus 2,000. Plus 2,000, get yourself some better odds. I like Jordan Spieth to really be ramping it up leading into the Masters. He's going to want to play well. He's going to want to eliminate all that doubt in his brain about potentially like, okay, what could happen? I want to play well going into this first major of the year. He's won. Let's see if he can win it again. Now my long shot, which again, you're going to have longer odds, but you never know. Tom Kim at plus 6,000 is who I like for my long shot. I could have gone with someone like Matt Kuchar, who's in this field. Lucas Glover is in this field. I'm not taking those guys. Yeah, they have much longer odds. Ricky Fowler, I think, was plus 10,000. I don't think they're going to win. I don't think they have a chance. Tom Kim at least has a chance. If he can prove that he's healthy, that his game is right, be a good springboard into the first major. So there you have favorite Jordan Spieth plus 2,000. Long shot, Tom Kim plus 6,000. Let's talk about some tournament specials. And these are all via the FanDuel Sportsbook. I'm not sponsored by them yet. Maybe one day, but not yet. And so here are the two. I went with two. There's two tournament specials that I like. So Jordan Spieth obviously is my favorite to win it. So I have Jordan Spieth and Corey Connors top 20, including ties, is plus 500. So again, they have to finish in the top 20, and that includes ties. That's a plus 500 bet. Not crazy, right? Then you could have these three players, any two. So this is where FanDuel is kind of leaning now. They're going towards these, hey, we're going to give you three players. If two of these people hit this criteria, you win. So this, in this case, it's Max Homa, Colin Morikawa, and Alex Noren. Any two of those three finish in the top 20, including ties, it's plus 125. So maybe you're someone out there that's like, hey, I've got a really good feeling about those two bets that Jeff just gave me. You could maybe parlay those into a two-leg parlay. Now you're talking much better odds, over plus 600 odds, but that's also going to be difficult for that to happen. You just have to really have a good feel for this. Again, I've said it for a long time. I'm not going to make my first play on golf out that's me using my own money, by the way, until the Masters. So next week, I'm actually going to give you my play, what I'm going to be putting money towards for the Masters. Maybe it's a one-round bet. Maybe it's a four-round bet. I don't know. I haven't looked into those odds just yet. I do know Scottie Scheffler is the odds-on favorite right now. He's the lead in the clubhouse, so to speak. John Rahm is not too far behind in second. See, you get all these live guys involved. You get them back in the mix. That's why I love these majors. I want to see the best players competing on the same stage and not as fragmented professional golf world that we live in right now. So there you have my bets for the Valero Texas Open and hopefully some good, interesting data that you can take and maybe implement into your game as you get yourselves ready for hopefully the upcoming golf season, which for some of you, my gosh, some people in the Northeast, I'm seeing snow and I'm like, God. Some place in Maine almost got like over 2 feet of snow. It's April, folks. My gosh, what's going on with this weather? It's insane. They say we have global warming. I don't know about that. All right, that does it for me on this Fairways and Dreams podcast. Again, next week, a special Masters gambling episode will be on Tuesday. And then on Thursday will be why the Masters golf tournament is unbelievably special to me. It's a story about my friend Chris. We'll tell you that story next Thursday. So be on the lookout for that. Also, be on the lookout for golfergang.com. That website's going to officially launch next week. It's going to be exciting. We're going to have a home landing page for everyone that wants to check out all these podcast feeds that we talk about. You name the Golfer Gang group, and they are going to be represented. It's growing. We just had two new feeds come over. This is exciting time for a lot of people that are involved in the Golfer Gang, myself included. So be on the lookout for that. I'm excited. It's almost Masters week. And you know how we finish out these solo shows. Be safe. Be kind. God bless. And hey, go hit them straight. We'll see you next week on another full slate of Fairways and Dreams podcast. Take it easy.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.